God, I really need to write to Titus to encourage him, help him with this task that we've given him to do. God, I pray for him. May he know your grace and your amazing peace.
Oh, Lord, look, I've got a letter from Paul. Paul, my father in our faith. So much to learn from him. His example. Yet he's given me such a responsibility.
Paul, Titus, my dear son, as you build up the churches on Crete, teach them well. Lead them in truth. Model a life to them that reflects God's character. Dear Titus, help them to see God in you.
Such a responsibility Paul's given me. Oh, Lord God, please help me to live with dignity, with integrity. May all I say and do reflect you, to be disciplined in my life with you so that I can share with a clear conscience what is good and true.
Guide your people. Lead your people. Teach your people.
My people. My people, my flock, my elders, my overseers. Lord God, please help them to love and care well for their families. Help them to be fair, generous, to listen, to be slow to anger.
Titus, my dear son, in your life, show them how to be hospitable, how to be self-controlled. Show them what it's like to live pure-hearted.
Lord God, Paul's encouragement to me is to let the fruit that only God's Spirit can produce to be seen in me. And maybe also in those that I lead.
Dear Titus, it's the only way, allowing people to see God's life in you so that you can lead them and then they can lead others. And then to see people respond to God's message of grace.
Oh, Lord, you know that there are some here on Crete who are wayward, smooth talkers, greedy, dishonest. Paul says to silence them. Help the Jesus followers follow truth, not those lies.
Titus, my dear son, it's not going to be an easy task. But live amongst your leaders so that they developed really well-disciplined lives.
I want the people that I lead to be known as people who live with dignity and self-control, solid in their faith, generous in their love, patient, not gossips, respecting their most treasured relationships within their families, whether young or old, male or female, living disciplined lives in response to what Jesus has done for us.
But Titus, don't just think about the leaders. Help everyone on Crete to follow your example, whether they're servants or whether they're masters. Help them all to live without arguing, without stealing, trying to prove that they are better than others.
Oh, God, please help us here on Crete to live every day in response to your generous and gracious love. Jesus, you gave yourself to buy our freedom. Help us to live passionately, passionately for you, in response to your extravagant mercy.
Dear Titus, my son, remember, all of this is possible not because of who you are, but because of what God has done through Jesus and by his Spirit. It's a gift of his love.
Oh, Lord, gracious, generous God, all of this is possible because of your love for us. You share all this with us. What an amazing message to take to the people of Crete.
Titus, a warning. It will be easy to get caught up in arguments, get caught up in quarrels, controversies.
God, please help me encourage the believers in Crete to live lives that are fruitful in, through, and for you. I feel excited, ready for the work, Lord, that you've given me to do through Paul. I sense, God, your grace is with me.
Titus, God's grace is with you and with all the people on Crete.
Well, good morning. Happy January and happy new year. It is a pleasure to be together, to worship our King together, to seek encouragement in our faith that it might be alive and growing deep within us. And we are in our summer series where this week you have someone from the A-team preaching. And by the A-team, I of course mean available. So here I am. I'm a teacher, a school teacher that is, and it is mid-January, so it's pretty hard to come up with too many excuses why I couldn't share during this summer series. So here we are, right? But jokes aside, it is an honour to share some thoughts with you this morning, following on from Russell Ealy out of the Book of Titus, who shared last week. And last week, Russell really and he really encouraged us to and promoted the habit of reading Scripture. And this might be an obvious habit. It might be one that we kind of go, oh, yeah, I know I'm meant to do that, or I do that already. But he encouraged that we do it with renewed or continued commitment and energy. And what a great habit to be in, isn't it? And Russell led everyone through Titus 1 using a Bible reading tool. And this will just be up on the slides. It was with the acronym CIA. Now, Russell, did you come up with the CIA or did you find that somewhere? Where is Russell? Oh, you adapted. Okay, CIA. A bit catchy, right? This is CIA. That as we read Scripture, we might comprehend it. We do the who, the what, the where, the when. We kind of think about, well, why is this being written? That we would interpret it. That we'd kind of discover what are the main points of this Scripture reading. And then we might apply that to our life. We ask ourselves, well, what does this mean for me and for us here and now? Now, as Russell said, this is one of many methods to read the Bible, one of many tools, if you like, to approach text. But if you've ever wondered, like, why would I read the Bible? I mean, the Bible is pretty challenging, it's pretty big, it's pretty confusing at times. I mean, we would hope that as we spend time in Scripture, we would be challenged and renewed, wouldn't we? That we would discover this story of God's love and that it would do something within us. And this morning, we're going to look at a section of Titus 2 that you have heard snippets of this morning, read by Catherine and Russell, and thank you for that creative way of reading Scripture to us. Beautiful. And what I want to do, I particularly want to spend time thinking about the application of Scripture. See, what I've kind of noticed, or what I've thought about, is that comprehending and interpreting are obviously necessary, right? They're very important parts of reading. But if we do those things without application, then all those things are thoughts and ideas in our head. It's information only. And it's in the application, it's the embodying the word, the putting on flesh of it in our everyday that is so important for followers of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, it implies that we have someone to follow. And so I want to spend some time thinking about this application. And James, in his letter, I mean, he picks up on this a couple of times. I mean, he says in James 1, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." And then later he writes, "Faith without deeds is dead." So it seems to me that thinking through how we apply Scripture, I mean, to understate it, it's of some use, isn't it? We want to be people that take on the word. We want to be people that apply the word, embody the word. I don't want to just read the Bible, kind of have some good thoughts in my head, and then go on my merry way. I want to be someone that deeply reflects and is challenged and changed, and that my very behavior is kind of shifted because of it. And I hope you do as well. So let's have a look at a short text from Titus 2, and let's consider its application. But more broadly than that, I want to promote creating space that might allow God to direct any application from Scripture. Just thought I'd give you a moment to read. Let's have a look. Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. Again, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. There is a lot to consider in this short text. There is grace, there is hope, and there is holiness. And first, let's think about this grace that appeared. I mean, this is Jesus himself offering salvation for all people, for you, for me, for our families, for our communities. He has delivered, saved, redeemed, helped, reclaimed for all people. I mean, this is good news. That whatever has trapped us, whatever has twisted us, whatever is broken in our lives, Jesus comes and offers this opportunity to actually mend and smooth over and fix what has been damaged. I mean, this is great. This is salvation for all. And this, of course, brings hope. And Paul here talks about the hope of this future appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus. But this hope impacts our present as well. I mean, this work of renewing and reclaiming and fixing has already begun here and now. And Jesus invites his disciples, his followers, to continue this work. That's you and I, to take up this work of helping and letting a redeeming love play out in all sorts of ways in our world. And so there's grace, there is hope, and there is holiness. See, this good work, this grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And then verse 14, Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I mean, what a passage. Grace, hope, and holiness. Now, Russ and I picked Titus for a reason. It's a short letter crammed with teaching to consider and apply. And so here are some questions that we could ask ourselves as we think about applying this text. The first one, so Abe, just flick that up. What does salvation look like for you, for your family, for your community? I mean, what does it mean for those twisted things and damaged things to be put right? For God's love and grace to invade, for his kingdom to come? I mean, we could spend some time thinking about that, praying for that. The second one, what are you hoping for? I mean, what injustices, what brokenness, what things do you see around you that you just hope and pray would change and be different? I mean, what could we petition God for more and more? Thirdly, what ungodliness and worldly passions do you need to say no to? I mean, this is quite confronting, this kind of question, right? I mean, if you're like me, maybe you could watch a bit more TV, turn the music up, and just kind of lose yourself in other things rather than reflect. But I think it's quite important, isn't it, to actually consider, what things do I need to say no to that just aren't of God? And what a great small group discussion with close disciples of Jesus to say, hey, what things in my life, what things in your life do we need to move away from? What worldly passions might we just be involved in almost without even knowing? And some more questions a bit similar that are challenging. What areas in your life require you to act with self-control, to be upright or act justly, to be godly or devout? And then finally, where are you eager to do good? I mean, what places are you drawn to? Just the next one, Abe. What places are you drawn to? Where do you spend your energy? Where do you find yourself thinking about and praying for that you want to see your works just kind of over? I mean, I've just asked you 5 questions that you could spend a lot of time on. And when I read Titus last year as part of my reading plan for the year, I just remember highlighting half of the letter. And still to this day, I find that there's phrases and thoughts that come back to me as I've had conversations and reflect on my going and coming day to day. And this is what application is, isn't it? It's really thinking about how does the Word of God challenge me and shape me? And like I said, I want to encourage us in this process, because throwing a heap of questions at you, getting you to think about it and go, right, what do I do now? That's hard work. But I want to give you a tool or promote a habit that might create some space to do this work in our lives. And a great way to reflect is to pray in a way to look for God's presence in our life. Now, more than 400 years ago, St. Ignatius encouraged prayer-filled mindfulness by proposing what he called the daily examine. And the examine is a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day to detect God's presence and the Spirit's movement in our life. And so I just want to kind of walk you through the daily examine, which many of you might be familiar with. So this is just a way of praying at the end of each day, or we can do this twice a day, however you like. But first, become aware of God's presence. I mean, this is the slowing down, isn't it? The taking a breath, the turning off the TV, the music, the distractions, the phone, and actually just being present so that you can be aware of God's presence. The second thing is reviewing the day with gratitude, looking back on the day and giving thanks for the many things, the many blessings that God has given us. Third, pay attention to your emotions. St. Ignatius had this great insight that we might detect the movement and the presence of the Spirit through our emotions. And it's an opportunity to recognize, what were my underlying emotions or emotion for the day? And can I be honest with you for a moment? When I've done this reflection, I've noticed frustration and anger bubbling under the surface at times. And to be able to pause in the presence of God and let him soften my heart, I actually think that helps me be a slightly better father, slightly better husband. Sorry. I think the Spirit does powerful things in our life when we allow it. And so pay attention to what he might be doing. Fourth, choose one feature of the day and pray from it. This might be a conversation. It might be someone you interacted with. It might be a habit. But these are things that you just let the Spirit pinpoint and that you'd pray through and think about, what action does this cause me to do? The fifth one is to look toward tomorrow. to bring God the things of tomorrow. This is the daily examine. You can Google this, and there's lots of kind of different ways of doing this, but it's a way of prayerfully reflecting on our day and being aware of God's Spirit moving in our life. And we actually attempt to do some of this as a family. So around the dinner table and at night before bed, we try and do this. Now, I say attempt because we've got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So actually getting to the dinner table with food on it and with them sitting down and actually starting to eat, I mean, that is a mini miracle in itself. But when we do that and when we have our good nights, we will start our dinner with grace. And this is just a way of acknowledging that God is present. And as part of that, we'll give thanks, right? We'll thank God for, yes, the food and our family and friends, but often our girls who will pray and we pray, they'll often give thanks for the things that have gone on throughout the day. And if they don't do that, we'll often ask them, hey, what was a highlight of the day? What's something you're thankful for today? And we'll try and get that conversation going. Again, there's often food on James's head and we're cleaning up things and telling someone to sit back up. But we give this a go. And so we ask, what are you thankful for? What can you be full of thankfulness for? And then we'll often ask them, hey, what was something that you found tricky today? Or what was something you really enjoyed today? And this is just a way of being aware of our emotions. It's being aware of, hey, what did I actually really enjoy and found a great blessing in? And what things did I struggle with? And then later on, once we get the, kids washed, teeth brushed, stories read, in PJs, again, it's a pat on the back moment. Once that all happens, when we pray with our kids at the end of the day, we'll often do the one feature of the day prayer. So we'll, in conversations that we've heard and had with our kids, there'll be something that we can pray for together about our day. And it's just, again, acknowledging, like, what has God been doing? How can we invite God into that space? And then finally, we pray for good rest. And we pray for tomorrow. So we look ahead. Now, for our family, I hope that we only strengthen this rhythm of prayerfully reflecting about the day. I mean, my hope would be that my own kids, as they mature, they adopt this for themselves and they are aware of God's presence, aware of His goodness, and aware of His leading in their life. I mean, that's my hope as well, right? I want to know the Lord's love. And I want Him to direct me away from some things and toward others. And so, to try and bring the last couple of weeks together, there's three kind of things. As this year gets going, consider your habits and rhythms. Consider the things that shape you. To borrow the words of Mark Sayers, everything we do is formational. Everything we do shapes us in some way. And most things I do haphazardly. I fall into. And so with intent, as this year starts, why don't we craft and really think about the habits and rhythms that we have personally and in our families and in our community? That's the first thing. The second thing, of course, is that one of these could be regularly being immersed in Scripture, that it would feed our soul. This regular Scripture reading, prayerfully examine your life and listen for the Spirit's prompting in your coming and in your going. I mean, how good it is when everyday Christians, people like you and me, humble ourselves, dwell in God's redeeming story. We listen, we reflect, we prayerfully consider how we live out our faith that we profess. This is where I believe that hard hearts can be softened, confessions made before Jesus and friends, good works are birthed, encouraging words are shared, devotion and dedication is reignited to see God's kingdom come, His redeeming love shown in all sorts of ways. And this is what I want my life to be like. I want to listen to the way of Jesus, hear His word, prayerfully reflect, and apply that in my life that it might be a blessing not only to me, but to others. And I want that for all of us as well. And so as the band come back up to sing our final song, My prayer and hope is that we would continue growing, seek encouragement in our faith, that it might be alive and flourishing in our way of living and being. Amen.